saplings I planted and the works of my hands to be proud of. Good. So every Jew has a Tzedakah Olamavah, every Jew has a Tzedakah Olamavah. And last time I explained all the different theories about that. Ve'elu she'en lem Tzedakah Olamavah. These are those who don't have a Tzedakah Olamavah. And as I mentioned, just a few, there's a much longer list in the Rambam. Mishnah says, Homa ein tchiyas ha-mesim min ha-Torah, ve'ein Torah min ha-shamayim, v'apakorah. So you have three people who have what you call false ideologies. One denies tchiyas ha-mesim, one says the Torah was never given from heaven, and the other is the apakorah. Very interesting thing that the matters of belief are so important, because the way we read in the Mitzvot Hashanah, getting to Olam Haba is really the purpose of the world. We exist here to go through this very difficult jungle or thicket, the forest, to finally get to the world to come. We do a good job in this world. So just these false beliefs can block the way to Olam Haba. It's really amazing thing. Yes?
I was wondering, why does it say apikoros here?
Apikoros, well, we'll see later on how the Gemara explains what apikoros is.
Correct.
Apikoros includes a number of things.
But the guys that said apikoros,
I think the simple shot that Gemara says later on, apikoros is someone who doesn't accept, doesn't respect rabbis. He says, Mahani Rabbanon, I don't believe in rabbis, I don't like them. Someone who doesn't want to have anything to do with rabbis is called an apikoros. It's a third category. That's what the Gemara says.
But it doesn't also include the other two?
No. Well, nowadays we use the word apikoros. Yiddish and Jewish and colloquial Jewish words. Apikoros is everything. But if you look in the Rambam, he has different categories. He says something he calls a min, mem yud nun is bunch of beliefs. Apikoros is a bunch of other beliefs. When we go through it, maybe look up the Rambam and take a look how he categorizes it. Apikoros in the Mishnah just means someone who doesn't need rabbis. He thinks that they're a pain. He doesn't like them. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Apikoros b'Sfarim Achitzonim, also someone who reads the banned books. There are certain books which were banned. So you read those books.
You read Making of Gadol?
Well, these are the books that the Mishnah used to ban. Nowadays, different story, yeah.
It's a very, very interesting book, that these three basic things, like all about
love, fear, and amazing.
But you must
have
said less of
them.
Say, where
Tanakh,
for example?
That's what the Gemara goes to. The Gemara spends a lot of time finding the sources for these truths in the Tanakh. The Gemara spends time, the first page in the Gemara, other pages, and so on. Every one of these basic beliefs, the Gemara spends a big effort to show that they are rooted in the Torah Shebachsav, not just Torah Shebal Peh. Clearly, we have them in the Sola, Torah Shebal Peh. That's one of the things that the rabbis passed down from Moshe. But it definitely has sources in Torah Shebachsav. So the Gemara has a lot of time.
But even the other five allusions to it, why is it such a big concept in terms of our philosophy? Why is it not given more coverage in, let's say, the Chumash? Why isn't the Chumash talking about all the Chumash?
That's another question. That's been discussed also at great length. In the Middle Ages, the Rishonim and the books of Jewish philosophy, Rambam and Moreh Nebuchim and Albo and Barbanel, all the Jewish philosophers always spend a lot of time on the philosophy of Judaism, which focuses on the basic beliefs, which include these, among others. So they do spend a lot of time. Why is it that many of the basic beliefs, Ram has 13 basic beliefs, and others have different numbers, sets of basic beliefs. lot of these basic beliefs are not spelled out as clearly as we would have expected them to be spelled out in the Tanakh. There might be allusions to them here and there, even vague, or sometimes as an explicit statement, but just very quickly. It's not really fleshed out. It's like Tias HaMason, even though the Gemara says it, there is 5 or 6 places you can find a reference, but it's not, you don't have 25 psukim discussing Tias HaMason or Olam Haba. You have to know where it's alluded to. Why is it not spelled out much more, fleshed out more in the Torah Shebichsav? This is a big issue, an old question which many have addressed in their writings, why it was never fleshed out. My personal opinion is that it's because we wanted to get that Hashem Yisbarach wanted to give Torah Shebaal Peh a very strong place in Judaism, and therefore just simply left things out of the Torah Shebichsav. Just like in Halacha, you have to say that the bulk of Halacha is not at all in Torah Shebichsav. For example, 39 Malachos of Shabbos barely alluded in some vague way in Torah Shebichsav, but clearly fleshed out in a tremendous way in Torah Shebaal Peh. So also, basic beliefs, some of the basic beliefs are very clearly explained in Torah Shebichsav, like Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and Avodah Zarah, there's a tremendous amount of effort in Torah Shebichsav. People should not mix up the concept of Hashem Echad, and God doesn't have a guf, He doesn't have Tzmuna, Tzura, Pesel, all of these things are a tremendous amount in Torah Shebichsav. That's one of the beliefs of God that doesn't have a guf. However, another belief like Olam Haba, very, very tenuous places in Torah Shebichsav. So my opinion is, just like in Halacha, there are certain Halachas which are very clearly stated in Torah Shebichsav. And let's say that Israel Raya, you're not supposed to marry your sister, you're not supposed to marry your daughter, sister-in-law, these things are spelled out very clearly. And other things are left for Torah Shebaal Peh. Bulk of things are Torah Shebaal Peh. Hilchos Shabbos, for sure, is Torah Shebaal Peh mainly. So, same thing in Emunos V'Deos, the beliefs and ideas. There's a certain amount of Torah Shebichsav, and another big section of things in Torah Shebaal Peh. And it's fine, because our Judaism is Torah Shebaal Peh, which means we need the rabbis. That's why Apikores is basically denying the Torah Shebaal Peh. He doesn't accept rabbis and their traditions. He wants to make up his own way of learning things. Then he's going to be going against a tremendous amount of Torah, because I can't even say, I would say it's much more than 50%. More than 50% of halacha of daily Jewish life, more than 50% of the Munos V'Deos, basic beliefs, are the Torah Shebaal Peh. You have to accept the Rabbanim. Otherwise, that's why we say Apikoros, a guy doesn't want Rabbanim, because he's not going to accept Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh is still an equal, if not even a stronger, basis of Judaism, the way we practice it, know it. So these emunos are Torah Shebaal Peh, mainly Torah Shebaal Peh. Okay, Svarim Chitzonim, we'll see. There's certain books that they banned. The Kibra and the other rabbis at the time said one should not read, and I personally will not look at them, even though they are around. And we read other books, but we don't read these books. Svarim Chitzonim, yes.
And that makes this Rashi actually. Not Rashi, whoever it is, even a little more troubling, because he says, since it's not, he doesn't discuss it basically, it's not total.
Right.
He says that if that's so, he says, then how does he know if he knows that's why it's so bad and he doesn't believe it's Torah? Because he says, what do we need it for, right?
Torah Shebaal Peh, right. That's why this Rashi is a mistake. Ain zeh medibrei Rashi. Rashi never wrote this. In fact, this thing is wrong. This thing here is mamish wrong. Not just that Rashi never said it, it's a false statement to say that someone believes in a belief because he knows it from Torah Shebaal Peh and he doesn't see it in the Torah Shebichsav. It's fine. Someone will believe in Olam HaBa because it's in Torah Shabbat Peh. Doesn't have to.
It's not a real Rashi.
It's not a real Rashi. This whole thing. It says on the side. You see that goes right? Beis Shmuel. Beis Shmuel is a parish on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. So she ends in the very Rashi. Okay. No, it makes sense. How can any responsible person say that if I have a belief in Torah Shabbat Peh, I'm not a chorus? Because I don't see it. Certainly, it's a false statement. It's not correct. Yes?
Which Sepharma are included in this Sepharm Petzonim?
Well, the Gemara gives you somewhat of a list. The Christians have them. The Christians put what we call Sepharm Chitzonim into their, what they call their holy books.
Canon?
The canon. So there's a bunch of them, which are there. I don't know very much about it. I just know that I never look at it. But because I don't want to give them, I don't have a problem with the Kiva. So, clearly some of the people through the ages have felt that this list includes a lot of other books which have false ideas, books which have apocryphal ideas would come under Sepharm Chitzonim. That was a very strong view, but we don't accept that. The Torah with Derech Eretz, Torah Mada School, Samson Eichel Hirsch, and Rav, and Rabbi Cook, and other Gedolim, Rambam read many other books which had false ideas, but they're not exactly these specific books which were put into the banned book list, the Sepharm Chitzonim. That's why Rambam and others would be the other books, even though they don't agree with everything.
Rambam didn't read a lot of Greek philosophy.
Right, that's not Sepharm Chitzonim. Sepharm Chitzonim are specific books written by Jews, which the Chazal said had false beliefs, and they don't want people reading it. You also have to realize that in the time of the Chazal, is still very much real Torah Shebal Peh. The real Torah Shebal Peh was not really written down, maybe just Mishnayos, but he didn't even have Gemara yet, right? So what they really wanted to do was that the people should spend the whole day and night memorizing Torah Shebal Peh. If you're going to start reading all kinds of books, you're not going to be spending time memorizing Torah Shebal Peh. And it wasn't written down, so they were very strong on the Sepharm Chitzonim. Other books, some of these other books, they say that they mean well, that they believe in Hashem. And, you know, it doesn't, when you read it, some of them, you don't really see that it's so anti our tradition. It seems to be pretty much some of them within the tradition. But just it takes people away from learning Torah Shebal Peh, the Gemara or the Tosefta, whatever else Chazal wanted people to spend the time. Because it wasn't just that you had to know it, you had to memorize it word for word and have it correct, because if a person makes a mistake, you know, the memorization, he passes on a mistake to other people, and that's very bad. So until things were written down, they didn't want people reading books. Tanakh and just Torah Shebal Peh, because you had to be very busy with the Torah Shebal Peh. Now, after it was written down, the Gemara, and started to write down Torah Shebal Peh all over the place, then I think that in general, the Jewish rabbis became more lenient in letting people read other books. And it became more and more involved with the non-Jewish world, left the ghetto, became modern, so get more and more leniency with the non-Jewish books, or even Jewish books not part of tradition, because the world has changed. But the fact is that we have a very big problem nowadays, because by people reading all these other books, they do get false ideas, number one. And number two, they do waste a lot of time. It should rather be spent learning Torah than reading these books, you know, novels, newspapers, comic books, whatever people are reading, you know, internet, movies, videos. So the two issues which made the Chazal prohibit the Sepharm Chitzonim did not go away, even though nowadays rabbis are very lenient on that. Most, there are still a few very small groups which try to keep a certain amount of Sepharm Chitzonim or videos away, with the Hasidim, at least the Rebbe, have been trying very hard to keep TVs out of the house. So I think basically, I would say more than less, I'd say probably that keeping it out of the house of at least, let's say, 50% of Hasidim. But they're not able to keep the computer out of the house. Once the computer's there, then you have internet. So, and newspapers. It's an ongoing battle to try to keep a certain amount, whatever you can, out of people's houses. It's not easy nowadays. You know, every time you think you stop something, some new media all of a sudden appears. So you think you stop TV, and all of a sudden there's a computer with an internet. You think you can stop a computer with internet, all of a sudden there's a cell phone where the internet is in your cell phone. So how can you tell a chassid not to look? It's in his cell phone. He's not going to push that button. So to keep it out of the house completely is almost impossible nowadays, because it's in your cell phone. So that's why I think, in a certain way, our generation is a much greater generation, because we, the previous generations, were able to actually keep the Yetzer Hara out of the house, at least movies, at least whatever. Jews were living in ghettos, they didn't really see Goyisha books. So you kept that out of the house completely, so that's already much easier. Nowadays, everything is in. We're swamped with everything, so we have to be very strong not to let it do these two things, damage our day-old, damage, twist our ideas, one, and two, take us away from precious time, which we have to spend learning Torah, wasting time on just pleasures, but not substantive study. Just wasting time enjoying a book or enjoying a movie. It's a waste of time. So for us to be strong takes much more than it did the Jews who lived a few hundred years ago. So that's why we get a lot of sechar, even though we are, compared to them, by and large, we're in a lower level of connection to Hashem, because the nature of the thing is they were much closer than the real Jewish world. And a lot of Torah and mitzvahs all the time. We have less, but we have to stand up for much, much more difficult situations, spiritual. So we get sechar for what we're doing, even though we may be lower objectively, but in a subjective way, it's very, very, very great what we do. We have our losses. People do have false ideas. We waste time. But look, compared to what we could be and what we are, it's really very amazing. That's what Jewish people are accomplishing nowadays. Go on. Halochesh ala makah. Someone who whispers on a makah, but only says, Kolamach v'ashasant v'mitzrayim v'asam alecha k'ani Hashem lofecha. He says this pasuk to get a refuah shalem. Apparently, he thinks it's some kind of magical power. Because if he really is davening to Hashem, I don't see why he should lose his olam haba. I don't even think it's wrong. I think it's probably good to say a pasuk 100 times if you think this pasuk is a way of davening to Hashem. But he must have been doing some kind of magic with the pasuk. And we spoke about last time how unfortunately sometimes people take a pasuk or religion and twist it into something evil. So it looks like Judaism, but it's not. So we spoke about that last time. Abishol Omer, Acha Hoges Hashem Ba'otiotav, also someone who spells out God's name with its letters. Okay, there's a lot of secret things in God's name. We even don't even know how to pronounce the four letters. It's a secret which we don't know. And there are other names of God. There's a 42-letter name, a 72-letter name. These names are very powerful. So someone misuses the names. So since we don't really know what the names are, we don't really know how you use them the right way and how you use them the wrong way, so we don't really understand very much about what he means when he says someone who spells out Hashem's name with the letters. But apparently it's a terrible thing. Shloshim Malachim Rabbo Adyotos Ein Lem Chelak Olam Abba. Three kings four plain Jews have lost all the Makkah. Shloshim Malachim, Yeravam, Achav, and Menashe. It's a rogues gallery of kings. Yerudam and Menashe, Yesh Lochek, all the Makkah. Shnemer, Yisbal, Allah, Elah, Vayetar, Shinasol, Vayeshiveh, Yushlaim, and Mahfusa. So it seems that he prayed and God made him king. Amlo Mahfusa, Heshiva, Velo Lachai, all the Makkah. But not all the Makkah. Abba Adyotos, four plain people lost all of Mabba. Bilam, Doe, Achitofel, Vegechazi, Bilam, we know, and Doeg Achitofel, Vegechazi, David the Melech's enemies. So they tried to kill David the Melech. I mean, Doeg and Achitofel. So Vegechazi was the servant of Elisha, and he betrayed his teacher, Elisha.
How would you lose all of Mabba for that?
It's hard to know. He betrayed him.
The price was the.
Elisha said not to take anything from
the general.
The general. From Naaman. Naaman. Right. And then Gehazi went behind Elisha's back and he took some money from drinking.
To give it to the poor people.
Betrayed his Rebbe. So betraying a Rebbe, he lost all of my God.
That's
going
inside of the
Torah.
That's going off what we said before.
It's like the apikoros, right? He's basically kind of apikoros.
Later, Elisha went to
Abraham
to ask him to do
tshuva,
and he refused.
What about Doeg and
Achitofel? They denied Malchus Beis David. They were trying to destroy Malchus Beis David. So that's apparently also a very important institution and belief. Navi, actually, Malchus Beis David could really go back to Chumash itself. And Yaakov Avinu says, we read the Gemara, "Kli Yosef Shevet Mehuda Mechot Mebein Raglo, Eli Rosh Yisrael Shevet Bavel." So someone who fights and denies Malchus Beis David is going against the basic Jewish belief.
What is the scene of that Doeg Haidumi?
Achitofel, they tried to kill David.
No, Doeg.
Doeg also, he tried to kill David.
Yeah.
He told Shaul HaMelech, he's the one who told Shaul HaMelech that David went to the city of Nob HaKohanim, and the Kohanim gave him some food, so Shaul sent an army to try to kill David, and you know, he killed the Kohanim. He chased David, so Doeg was a Moshe, Malshin, trying to kill David HaMelech. Achitofel led the rebellion with Avshalom against David, so apparently being Machish, Malchus based David, is also a very fundamental Jewish belief. If you don't believe in Malchus Beis David, we say in the davening every day, three times a day, Es Tzemach David Avdochor Melech Atzmiah. So it's a very basic belief that there is a kingdom and that this kingdom was chosen by Hashem.
Is it true that
Achitofel
was grandfather of
Bathsheba?
Yes,
he was.
How come when he died 33 years old?
Well, he died young and she was very young and David HaMelech married her.
So how old was the Bathsheba by the time she got married to King David?
She was young. Very young. Less than 12. So the Gemara says...
One more question, I'm sorry to interrupt. Does that mean that people used to move with here during these times?
Probably. In those days, little girls were probably mature earlier. Probably. The Gemara says, Kol kach lama. Kolkach Lama. Why would the punishment of someone who denies, let's say, Tiersa Mason, be so strict? Someone who's Machal Shabbos gets Olam Haba. Someone who denies Tiersa Mason loses Olam Haba. Olam Haba is the most precious thing a person can get. Kol kach lama, why is it such a big deal? Tana, the answer the Braisa says is who kacha b'tchias ha-meisim? He denies tchias ha-meisim. L'chichach lo yeh lo chelek b'tchias ha-meisim. That's why he doesn't enjoy tchias ha-meisim.
That's a good point.
This is a simple kind of mita. Tchias ha-meisim. Shekol midos shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mita keneged mita. God always does a nida, a trait for a trait, tit for tat. The Amar of Shmuel, Ban Achmeni, and Ragnarsson, the Naim Shakom Mitosa, Shakadish Baruch, and Nida Kenegat Nida, Shinema Vyomer Lisha. Lisha says, Shimudvar Hashem, Keis Machar, Sa'as Soles B'Shekel, Sasayim, Sa'ovim B'Shekel, B'Shah Shomno, Uchsiv, Vyan Hashalish, Asher Lamelech, Mishan on Yodo, Es Ishrael Okim, Vyomer, Yine Hashem, Oseh, Arugos Hashemayim, Hayyad Ova Hazeh, Vyomer, Hinecho, Roe Behinecho, Misham Lo Tochal, Uchsiv, Vayihi Lo Chen, Vayimnesu Oso Ha'om B'Shah Vayomos. So there's a whole story there that there was a famine, and Elisha predicted that God would give a lot of food, and the officer said, well, it's impossible, even if God would rain food from the sky, he couldn't save us. And Elisha says, we'll see, there will be food, but you're not going to be able to eat from it because you denied my prophecy. And what happened was that the enemy army ran away, God scared them, they ran away, and they left all their supplies, and there was so much food that everyone could eat. When people ran out of the city to go to the enemy camp and get the food, they trampled the officer and they killed him. So because he denied the ability of Elisha's prophecy, he was not the one who merited to enjoy it. Neither connected me to him. That's how we see, it's the same thing. A person who denies Chias HaMeisim will not get Chias HaMeisim. So the Gemara says, it's not really a proof. Dilma Kilalas Elisha Gomer, because Elisha cursed him. Damer Rav Yehuda, Damer Rav, Kilalas Chacham, Afil Alchinam Hibar. If a Chacham curses somebody, even if there is no reason for it, it comes true. So it's a different story. So Mura says, no, it's still a proof, because him came lift of Krav Yimusol Vayamos. Just say he died. My Bashar, why did he say they killed him at the gate? Al Iske Shah, because of the conversation that he had in the gate. So it really was a Mida connected Mida. So the laws of Tchias HaMeisim, so this gives us a certain insight why these Emunas V'Deos are so important, because if a person denies some of these Emunas V'Deos, he will be denying Tchias HaMeisim. Once you deny Tchias HaMeisim, so he forfeits it, because that's a punishment. We don't believe in Tchias HaMeisim, so you won't enjoy Tchias HaMeisim. So that's basically what the Gemara says. Rabotai, we'll stop here. We have to, there's a Tehillim. After Tehillim, we'll come back to the regular Amen.